Please be seated, won't you? When we lived in Arkansas, we lived in a very biblical neighborhood. Our neighborhood had a covenant. And the covenant established certain things that were okay and certain things that were not. One part of the covenant is you could have four pets except for chickens. So it's Arkansas, just remember this. Another part of the covenant is your house could be a certain color out of 10. And it was included on the color line what those colors were with the appropriate numbers that you could look up. Another part of the covenant established that your fence could only be so high and it could only be so close to the edge of the street. Another part of the covenant established that you couldn't have certain vehicles parked in your driveway or in the street in front of your house, in particular trucks that were for work, that might have had a sign on them or ladders that was in the covenant. Another part of the covenant is you could not park an RV in the neighborhood. And the covenant went on and on. There was other things included that talked about certain bushes you could have and couldn't have and things like that. Now, all of that was meant to make the property nice and to make the neighborhood nice and different things like that. Now, on the other part of that, it was a relatively new neighborhood, and so there was new houses going up all around us. And so as people came in, we got all kinds of biblical figures. We had a couple of Pharisees that lived in the neighborhood. One would walk around with her notebook while she was walking her dog and would take notes on the houses that were violating the covenant. And then she would call the person who was president of the neighborhood association to make sure that they knew so that we could be issued our fine or whatever was supposed to happen. We had the unrighteous as well. We had those who pushed the edges of the covenant at all times. We had the neighbor who had five dogs and not four, but always made sure only to walk four at a time so the Pharisee would not see that she had five. You understand? And then we violated the covenant even though we didn't know we had done it. They put a fence in our yard when we bought the house, and it was 2 feet over where it could be. And so our neighbor eventually let us know that, and we had to have the fence company come back and move it back. You know, we had all these sort of different things that would go on. We don't think about that, but we have covenants around us all the time. So how many of you live in neighborhoods with covenants? Probably most of you, if you have a house in this area. You have other covenants as well. If you are married or have known someone who's been married, that's a covenant. It's a relationship that's governed by certain understandings and promises that you make to each other. I think in some ways there's a covenant between parents and their children as we care for them and as we look after them as they grow up. And we have lots of other covenants in our life that we might think about or not think about. Today in the Old Testament lesson, we hear the wonderful little story of Noah and the covenant that God establishes with Noah. It's a covenant that's about grace. And it's one of the first covenants, and there'll be many after that. There'll be one with Abraham, another with Moses, and there'll be ones that follow where promises are made by God, contracts are made, and often they carry with them a symbol. And the covenant that's established with Noah, it happens to be a rainbow. How many of you think of the story when you see a rainbow? So I was taught as a child that this is one of the first stories I remember my dad teaching me about the Bible, is that when you see the rainbow, it's a reminder that God's not going to destroy the world by water. That is until you have a flood in your neighborhood, and then you question that. But, you know, that was the sign of that. In other covenants, often the flame passes before. In the covenant with Abraham, the flame passes before Abraham and God. With Moses, we have a couple of different covenants that are established. One is the Ten Commandments are created, and there's other things that happen. And even in our own covenants, if you live in a neighborhood, you sign a document that says you'll abide by the covenants, and you shake hands and do different things. In a marriage, you exchange rings. And so we make a symbol often to remind us of the covenants we establish. But what is really at the heart of this is a promise made by God, but also a promise that we make as well. And that is to be in relationship with God fully. I think it's important to know this because when we hear the gospel for today, if we don't understand the way that covenant works in the Hebrew scriptures, we lose a little bit of what Jesus is saying. And Jesus says, I come to establish a new covenant, a new way, a new kingdom. That story is meant to remind us and to echo these other stories. And Jesus comes and he sacrifices himself on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven and that grace might abound with us. And a new covenant is established. So when we wear a cross, or we see a cross, or we think of the cross, it's meant as a reminder of that very covenant. But in this particular story, we hear that Jesus is baptized, and he's God's son. And then we hear this other piece. When he enters Galilee, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. What do we have to repent about? Well, we've broken the covenant. That really is what Jesus is saying, is the covenant has been broken, and so repent, return, renew, remake. And it's an admonishment to come back into that relationship with God. On Ash Wednesday, if you were able to come to the services, we hear something in the exhortation. That's the beginning paragraph when everyone is challenged with beginning a holy season of Lent. And Lent is really a season about repenting and seeing that the kingdom of God is near. It's a time of remaking, renewing, reestablishing our relationship with God. Even if we're really good at it, it's a time to focus and to be even better at that. But maybe our relationship is broken and we need to renew that. But sometimes we have the Pharisees walking around, right? Making sure we know how sinful we might be. And maybe we're the kind of person that pushes the boundaries and wants to push the covenant a little further than we can. Or maybe we need to hear the grace-filled message that is in this particular gospel, that reconciliation with God is always possible. The other kind of interesting thing when you look at the covenants that are in the Hebrew Scriptures, time after time, it's about grace. The first covenant is made, and then it's necessary for another covenant, and then another covenant, and then another covenant. Because we often forget that the reason the earth was flooded was because why? Because everyone was so unrighteous and sinful and not acknowledging God, and they couldn't see God for who God was, and they had established themselves as God and all these things, right? And so every time it's about grace, it's about renewing and about reestablishing and being deeper in our relationship with God. It's always about getting that relationship going again. So I want to encourage you as you go through this holy season of Lent to think about renewing your relationship with God and even your neighbor. It can be a wonderful opportunity to go a little deeper in our faith and to realize the promises that God has made. You know, it's very intentional that stained glass usually is made only with the colors of rainbows. If you look at the stained glass that's up there, I think we have all of the different colors represented. Of course, all the colors are in the rainbow if you divide it up enough. But stained glass is usually made of that, both as a reminder, one, that it's beautiful, and the other, that it's a reminder of that very promise. And if you look in our own stained glass windows, there's different symbols of the different stories and even covenants that God has established through Christ with us. You can pick the symbols out and figure out what they mean. But part of that is to remind us of that story week after week as we come to worship, to remind us of that reconciliation, to remind us of that grace, and to remind us of the promises that God has made. So if there's sin in your life, it's time to confess it and time to forgive yourself and to ask for forgiveness. If you can't forgive someone else, it's time to start working on that difficult task. If you feel distant from God, it's time to work on that relationship and to study Scripture, to enter a life of prayer, to do whatever it can be. If there's other things to work on in your spiritual life, this is a season which you can set aside to do that hard work. But never forget the promise that God makes that is grace-filled and is about love. God is always eagerly pursuing us and asking for a deeper relationship. God is always forgiving us before we can even know that we can be forgiven. And God is always seeking to incorporate us and to bring us into his kingdom. So what covenants are you listening to? What covenants are you keeping with God? And God promises to give you grace and to give you love. Amen.